This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. Anne-Marie Lucas will talk about greyhounds in a moment, but first, a physician's notes on Marilyn Monroe that show she had undergone cosmetic surgery will be up for sale next month, along with a set of her x-rays. The set of six x-rays and file of doctor's notes from 1950 to 62 are expected to sell for between $15,000 and $30,000 at auction in Beverly Hills, California. The notes, written by Hollywood plastic surgeon Michael Gurdon, confirmed rumors that Monroe went under the knife for cosmetic reasons. The notes include references to a 1950 cartilage implant in Monroe's chin, which he said had slowly started to dissolve. The x-rays were dated June 7, 1962, after Monroe saw Gurdon after a late-night fall and 2 months before she would die at age 36 from an overdose. What do these things have in common? A light bulb, knife, and phone charger. Well, the answer is just some of the crazy things that pets eat. One dog managed to swallow a wooden back scratcher almost as long as his whole body, while a Jack Russell ate a 10.7-inch bread knife. Vets around the U.S. submitted the bizarre x-ray images for the annual What Ate What competition. The winner was a veterinarian who removed 30 stones from the stomach of a pet frog. A family dog in Englewood, Colorado is recovering from emergency surgery after eating a girl's volcano homework. The dog ate it while the family was sleeping. The animal hospital found 50 pins on his abdominal x-ray, and they had to be surgically removed. The dog is expected to be okay. Meanwhile, a 2-year-old Boston Terrier in Florida is recovering after eating 27 hair braids. It all started when the family's cat knocked over the owner's hair braids from the bathroom counter onto the floor, and the dog ate all 27 of them. The dog, named Lucy, began vomiting and became lethargic. The family took Lucy to the vet, where x-rays revealed that the ingested hair bands in Lucy's stomach and small intestines required surgery. A regular contributor each week is our animal advocate, Anne-Marie Lucas, formerly of Animal Precinct on Animal Planet. Anne-Marie, welcome back.
Hi, Mike. It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, this is a special month, April, because it's Adopt a Greyhound Month. And of course, you are so well informed, you knew that before everybody else.
I did. And it's, you know, it's just a wonderful breed that I love to talk about. I have personal experience with greyhounds, and I really want to introduce people to the fact that greyhound racing still exists out there, unfortunately, and we really need to put a stop to this cruel and inhumane industry that uses dogs to further people's gambling habits, which I can't believe in the year 2015 we still have tracks across the country that allow greyhound racing to continue.
How did it start? Do you know the history of why people were racing greyhounds to begin with?
Yeah, they were racing them way back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, just for sport. I mean, it started out as like a cross-country eventing type sport, I believe in England, where, you know, greyhounds would chase after live rabbits and kill the rabbit at the end of the race. It has now developed into track racing, you know, the oval or round track where the greyhound chases an artificial rabbit and they, you know, race to win. And it's just an industry that has been allowed to exist, and it's that dirty little secret of the racing industry where dogs, thousands and thousands of dogs are bred every year, and thousands of greyhound dogs are killed every year because they don't make good racers. They don't make the cut. So what do the breeders and the trainers do with them? They would kill them. Now, over the past numerous years, greyhound rescue groups and advocacy groups have been coming forward and saying, this is ridiculous and unacceptable. Why are these dogs, beautiful, majestic, lovely, loving dogs, being used in this manner? And why are they allowed to be killed? Because they're of no use to this industry anymore. So rescue groups have popped up all over the country, and there's this big movement to stop greyhound racing for good. It's only legal in 7 states right now. And do you want me to list those states for you so we can get on these states?
I'd love to hear.
Okay, let's start. Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Iowa, Texas, and West Virginia. Now, these are the only states where greyhound racing is still legal. But the catch is, you can do simulcast betting in several other states where, you know, you watch the screen and you can see it. You can bet. You can go to an off-track betting type place in certain states, and you can bet on races going on in these 7 states where it's still legal. So you're still able to bet on greyhound races even though you don't live in these states, which is something we really need to work on as well.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate. We bet on horse racing. What's wrong with greyhound racing?
Well, here's the thing. I'm opposed to both, obviously. You know, horse racing is ingrained for some reason in a lot of people's minds that it's a positive thing. Trust me, you know, the horses would much rather be grazing in a field and not being used for racing. But that's a whole other topic we can talk about. Greyhound racing, many more dogs are killed every year, thousands, by the thousands. And that's the industry where they're caged like 18 to 20 hours a day. They're in confinement. They're not given medical care. In the horse racing industry, the horses are taken care of. There's much more, there's standards where they have to be taken care of and seen by veterinarians. And the animals are much more well taken care of than greyhounds, who are just thrown away when they're not racing or winning. And there's lots of injuries involved, like in horse racing. Dog racing, there's lots of broken legs, spinal cord injuries, cardiac arrest. They're infested with fleas and ticks. They race in extreme temperatures, hot or cold. And it's just really something that we don't need to do at this time in our lives. If you want to gamble, that's fine. Go to a legal gambling facility and play the slots, blackjack. But why are we abusing animals to gain a little bit of entertainment?
All right, and where do these greyhounds all come from? Are they bred in the same states that they're racing?
Yeah, they're bred all over the place. I believe there are 300 greyhound breeding facilities across the country. It's really a big industry. So 300 breeding facilities still exist where they're turning out, you know, dog after dog, puppy, litter after litter. And, you know, the thing about these beautiful dogs is that greyhounds are majestic, beautiful, loving animals. The fact that they race is something that they really don't want to do. They have a natural instinct to chase. If you let a greyhound off leash, which they never recommend doing, they will chase whatever's in your yard. But when they're in your home, they're loving towards children and cats and other dogs. They're really wonderful family pets. So there's a real disconnect between the people who do this racing for, you know, breeding and for a living, and those in the greyhound world who love these animals and just want to see them in good, loving homes.
All right, so they do make good pets. Is any of your brood a greyhound?
I don't have a greyhound, but I have a friend who has two greyhounds, and I've taken care of them before, and they are just lovely. I mean, they're a dog that can never be kept outdoors. They have very little body fat and very little hair, although they can shed. They need to be on a soft, they're couch potatoes, basically. They really just want to be on your home, laying on your couch on a very, very soft bed. So if you do decide to adopt a greyhound, there are requirements. The greyhound is not for everyone. They don't recommend a family with boisterous children who tug on ears and tails. That wouldn't work because greyhounds just really want to be left alone. They really just want to go for a nice long walk with their owner. They need a quiet, tranquil environment to live in. And if you have that kind of home, they make great city dogs. A lot of greyhound rescues prefer if you have a fenced-in backyard, but it's not required. If you live in the city and you have a greyhound and you can go for a nice long walk in a park with your greyhound and then get them a nice, comfy bed at home, they're happy, and that's really what they need. They need someone to realize that they're not racers, and they shouldn't be used in this capacity.
All right, and your pet tip involves two groups that are actively involved in saving these greyhounds, right?
Yeah, two groups I really love. One's called Grey2KUSA.org. Grey, G-R-E-Y, 2KUSA.org. And they are an advocacy group, and they really have a lot of great information. Actually, they state by state will list the adoption agency in your area where you can rescue, adopt a greyhound. So they list all of the available adoptions agencies in your area. And there's another one called the National Greyhound Adoption Program. They have a lot of great information regarding adopting greyhounds and stopping this cruel industry that has been allowed to exist. But I will, you know, these two groups are also very, very strong advocates of just getting the public to realize that greyhound racing is a thing of the past and should be a thing of the past, and to write to your local legislators if you live in one of these seven states that still allows greyhound racing to go on every day.
Well, what's the justification for it at this point?
there really isn't any. You know, it's all agreed. It's money. I mean, if you have an animal and you can make money off of that animal, this is what they're thinking. Although, you know, there's a lot of high costs involved with the regulation that is going on now. You know, that's why these breeders and trainers feed the dogs very low-quality food. The medical care is not there for them. They would rather kill them than treat them medically. So they're really just disposable to them. And it's all because of greed. It's all because of gambling. It's all because of money. If someone's willing to bet on a race, someone out there will provide that dog to be a racer. So it really has to stop from the public. It really has to stop. People have to stop gambling on these races. And that's how this industry will be put to an end.
Our animal advocate, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. My pleasure.
And with our animal advocate, Anne-Marie Lucas, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend. Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
How can you stand out from other candidates in a job interview? Ask unique questions.
For example, all the average candidates will probably ask about training opportunities.
Kathy Rapp, writing for Fistful of Talent, suggests asking, what would my priorities be in the first 6 to 12 months?
Questions show the interviewer you're interested. Unique questions show them you've really thought about the position.
So before the interview, picture yourself already on the job.
What are you doing day to day? What questions do you have about the company, your department, and your role? What would help you do your job better?
Stand out from average candidates by preparing enough to form unique questions. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. How do you know if you're in love? Well, it's a tough question, but one everyone will invariably attempt. What's the answer? Well, first, the human behavior of it. Today, I get to tell you about my dad, smart man, you would have liked him. And one day, I asked my father, he and I were having one of those moments, and I was struggling with this love question, so I asked, Dad, how do you know when you're in love? Here's my father's answer. He said, Son, if this person brings out the best in you, it's love. If they bring out the worst in you, it's not love.
You make me want to be a better man.
What's the cheap psychological trick? People whom we love bring out the best in us in every conceivable way. They make us want to be better than we really are. And you know what? We do the same if they love us back. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Lovers, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.